We have been working really, really hard to raise money for more bunk beds. Right now we're able to house about 24 men in our men's recovery. The ladies have, if you've been to Union Mission up 700 South Park, they have their own Brookside campus. And literally, if we needed that, if I had the staff, we could do 109 in our women's recovery. But the men, really, we really need some help getting some bunk beds for them. They need to be metal beds because it's this day and age, you're always battling bed bugs and things of that nature. And from the bottom of our heart at Union Mission, really thank you so much. Because this will allow us to buy some beds and get some more men and battle this opioid epidemic that we're seeing across our great state. I thank you for this church. I thank you. I love the opportunity to come here. I love to your piano playing is marvelous, ladies. Thank you for that. Your choir sounds tremendous. It's a blessing to come and hear you sing. I don't ever hear good things about your pastor, but your music is great. just kidding. One of the things your church member said to me as we stood here talking, and he said, besides the one of the greatest things about our church is, besides the Spirit of the Lord definitely being here and among and in our church and our families, we have a pastor that loves the Word of God. I don't know of any better compliment. And thank you for that. Thank you for standing and sticking and staying and fighting. And it's not easier. God bless you. It's pretty awesome how God works. This, you know, the last couple weeks, I've been looking and praying and searching and asking what we would, the words we would use this morning, and we've had a rough week this week in the Quintrell and the Ball family. My niece gave birth last Sunday, and Maverick is really premature. Not expected to live through this week. And we call him Mighty Maverick because he's still fighting. I appreciate your prayers, and it's been a rough week. My sister's called me every morning, and she's asking for prayer, and we've talked, and I've shared Bible verses, and we've communed, and something that through our conversation that she said to me, in this difficult time when she's watched her daughter with grief like she's never seen before, hurt like she's never felt before. I mean, this baby is, they can barely touch this baby. He has such a brain bleed because things are not developed properly. I don't know all the medical terms, but all I keep hearing is about this massive brain bleed in this child. And the one thing that my sister said to me this week that led to this is, the Lord is good. I've watched as he has been stable the last few days. I've watched as my sister, dealing with her daughter, has been able to rejoice. This morning we're going to talk about learning to rejoice. Victory Sunday. It's hard to have a victory without being able to rejoice. If you would, please take your Bibles and go to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we will begin there in verse 4. I can't wait to be able to take pictures of these beds and I'll send them to you and you guys can put them up here and see these fellows having a place to sleep. It's huge. Thank you so much. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, if you'll stand with me in respect to the reading of God's Word, please. The Scripture says here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." Verse 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." I believe that very thing right there is the key to happiness in our life today. In what state that God has us in to learn contentment. If you can do that, what happiness and joy, rejoicing will be evident. Verse 12, "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am introduced both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And then the very next verse is very well known. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheth me." Father, we love you. We thank you this morning for the wonderful music. We thank you this morning that we are gathered in a place such as this to hold you as the pinnacle of our focus. We thank you that you save. We thank you that you heal. And God, we're asking for a blessing, Lord. We want to hear from you this morning, Father. I thank you for all these folks and their sacrifice to be able to purchase beds for Union Mission. Lord, we thank you for this day, God. It's in your precious name, Jesus, we do pray. Amen. I believe rejoicing is a choice that every person needs to make. For example, my daughter's birthday. Ben was my daughter's birthday too. She's 17. On the way here, she said, "Oh, you know what?" We were like, "What?" She was like, "I can't sing that song from Sound of Music anymore. I'm 16 going on 17. I'm getting ready to be 18. I can't sing that song anymore." But we decided to celebrate her birthday yesterday. We went to the Huntington Mall. We had a nice dinner together. We went to the mall, did some shopping. We went to Best Buy. And in my home, I'm a guitar player. I love playing the guitar. And up in my room, I have the setup where I can study scales and all that. And I love playing the guitar. But internet does not reach up to our room very well. And it's very hard to stream videos and all that. And everything stops and the network stops. And I get very frustrated. And my joy begins to float away because I get angry. So at Best Buy, I said, I want to get a Wi-Fi booster. So we bought this booster, came home last night, and I said, I'm going to get this thing set up right now. I started working on this booster. I had the instructions in front of me. How hard could it be? We've introduced Office 365 to Union Mission now. We're doing Skype. I mean, we are cutting edge, right? Yeah, right. I started to try to hook up this Wi-Fi extender. I started with the first. It had two different ways that you could do this. I started with the first way, and I did it over and over and over and over and over again. And it was not connecting. The little light that was supposed to be turning fully green kept blinking red. So I said, fine, I'll try it the second way. And I went halfway away from the router like I was supposed to. And I got on the website that I was supposed to. And then I kept working and working and working. It never would happen. And I was getting frustrated. And I'm telling you, instructions were flying and boxes were flying. My rejoicing of having that wireless router went quickly. This morning I got up and I was up 5:30, 6 o'clock this morning. You know, the first thing that came to mind, oh, it wasn't get on your knees and pray, Pastor Jason. It was get back to work on that router, and I did, and I got everything work. I was working and working and working. I still couldn't get it. And my wife says, can I see it, honey? And I'm thinking, Really? Okay, fine. Here's the instructions. You take care of it. If I am lying, I am dying. Within 5 minutes, everything was up and running. And she's sitting there with that smirk on her face. And I am standing there with zero joy in my body because I've been showed up by my wife. Don't tell me God does not have a sense of humor. Rejoicing is a choice. I could have chosen to leap through the air into my wife's arms and say, thank you, honey, for getting that wireless router hooked up for me. And now we have internet through the whole house and I don't have to worry about, I can study this and study that. Thank you so much. But I didn't do that. I threw a temper tantrum. Rejoicing is a choice. I mean, has anybody bought a car recently? When you go to the car lot, one of the questions that you want to have answered is, what comes standard on this vehicle? What are the standard options on this vehicle? Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that in human beings, rejoicing is not part of the factory package. I believe that in human beings, it's very capable for us to lean to living under the circumstances of life. I think it's very easy for us to our factory settings to be towards doom and gloom rather than rejoicing and happiness and true joy in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To those of us who are saved, it may not come standard, but I believe that it is on the options list because we have a Savior in that we can rejoice in. We all can read the newspaper. We all can see the news and the websites, and we all can hear all the horrible things that's happening, and we all can get under those circumstances of this world in which we live in. But I'm telling you, if you really want to think about the situation and think about it logically, where we are today in the state of West Virginia, 2019, this is as close to hell as you and I will ever be. Well, if that's not something to shout about, if that's not something to rejoice about, if the Lord is your personal Savior, if you have Jesus Christ living inside of you, alive inside of you, I have no business, like I do sometimes, I slip to that side of not rejoicing. I slip to the side of living under the weight of this world. But this is as close to hell that I will ever have to be, thanks to the cross at Calvary. Why is it that many Christians reach a certain point in their lives where they just accept living under the circumstances of life? You hear often, I'll manage. You hear often, I'll get by. You could look at almost every story in Scripture and you'll find someone who could say, I'll manage. Think about Joseph. Remember him being imprisoned in the dungeon. He could say, I suppose everything is okay, but my brothers hated me, tried to kill me. I've been sold into slavery. Now I find myself imprisoned. I thought things were going well for a time, but now I find myself in prison. He could have said, what in the world are you doing to me? Why in the world would you allow me to go through this? It's not fair. Ask Joshua how he was doing when he was patiently waiting for Moses on Mount Sinai. He might say, I'm a little confused. Moses is up communing with God on Mount Sinai, and I'm down here with these bunch of idiots. Look how they're acting. It's not fair. Why can't I be up there with Moses? Why can't I be up there with God? I got to be down here among this. Why? I guess I'll manage. The problem is, with human beings, living under the circumstances of life seems to just become the norm. You do realize that I am called way past all of that. You do know that you are called way past all the circumstances of life, the weight of life, the weight of pain, suffering. The Scripture tells us that we should rejoice in suffering for the Lord. Now, I'm not telling you I've got the corner market on that. I'm not telling you that I'm the man on that. I'm not. I'm actually quite the opposite. I'm preaching to me this morning. There's many things we face at Union Mission that's very, 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 very difficult. We're dealing with addicts who the most comfortable thing to them is sticking a needle back in their arm. The most comfortable thing to these ladies that come to us, many of them, is selling their body so they can get that needle back in their arm so they don't feel sick anymore. It's my whole thinking has changed over addiction. It's not, they get to a point you realize, addicts get to a point you realize that they don't stick that needle in their arm to get the euphoric feeling of being high really anymore after a certain time. They stick that needle in their arm to get the feeling of not being sick anymore. That's how far their bodies have gone. It's horrible to see that. It's terrible to see that. You try to take people like that and say, you don't have to live under the circumstances of this life. They will look at you and say, really? Look at the circumstances of my life. Many of them were raised in horrific situations. Many of them were raised and beaten and verbally abused like you wouldn't believe. And they're trying to start over. If you read our newsletters, you'll see that there is hope and there is reasons to rejoice and there is victory. We can have victory Sunday, but I'm telling you, it is never and will never be under the circumstances of this life, ever. It can't be. It's impossible. This world is not my home. Some of you knew it and some of you didn't. My treasures are laid up beyond the blue. I believe God orders Christians to get out from under those circumstances. Get on top and live that victorious life. How do you expect me to live that victorious life? Do you not see what's happening in my family? we have to realize that when we're in situations like that, that we're not the only ones. We have to realize that there's a lot of people that are suffering. There's a lot of people who are hurting. I was taught in the seminary, they drilled it into our head, is be kind to everybody because you have no idea what kind of day that those everybodies are having. Verse 4 tells us in our text to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Does that mean that we are to rejoice when our bank accounts are full, everybody's healthy, everything is wonderful, we've got a great job, we're happily married, our kids are doing wonderful, man, grades are fantastic, we've got vacation coming up. I mean, everything is rosy and blue and wonderful. The sun is shining. It's great. It's easy to rejoice then, is it not? Everything is laid out for you to rejoice. But when things start going wrong, Job, when lives begin to get turned upside down, either by poorly made decisions or just circumstances of life that happen, when sickness comes, where is our rejoicing then? It's been hard to rejoice this week. And there's been a lot of tears over the phone. There's been a lot of questions. My sister was also asking, Jason, why? Why? I don't know why. But I will tell you this, there's someone much greater and smarter than I that holds the waters of this earth in the palm of his hand. There's someone wiser and greater than I, I'm saying to a family member, that knows every hair that is upon your head. I know that God understands the situation in which you are living in right now, and I'm telling you, you can rejoice even in a situation like this. Why? Because 1 Thessalonians tells us that even in death or sleep, we still can rejoice. Why? Because the hope of that cross, understanding of what is to come, rejoicing about the future instead of looking to the past. The problem that we have, I tell this story often, my kids may be getting sick of it, but it has been embedded in my heart. Being from St. Albans, my wife and I went to Hayes Junior High. It was junior high then. And my football coach was Coach Bart Hillenbrand. And I was a running back, and I'll never forget, we were playing, I think maybe even Spring Hill. I don't exactly remember who, but I was running for the goal line within 15, 20 yards of the goal line, and I was thinking to myself, all the girls are going to be cheering for me, the cheerleaders. It's wonderful, and this is great, and this is awesome. You know the biggest mistake I made? I looked back to see if anybody was going to catch me. As I looked back, it got me out of stride. And guess what happened? Somebody caught me. My coach, Coach Hillenbrand, when he had the look, he went. I went. No, I came to him. And he got really close. You thought I was intense in volleyball? He got really close to my face, my face mask. And he said this to me, and I'm not going to yell because I don't want to scare you to death, but he said this in a volume that would not contain this room. He says, stop looking back. How much rejoicing would have taken place if I would have made it to that end zone? How much happiness would have taken place if I would have completed that run? Doesn't the Scripture say that we are running a race? Doesn't the scripture say that to run this race patiently? And I'm telling you, the biggest things that hinder joy and rejoicing is allowing Satan to turn your head to make you look back. When really, my opinion, the greatest things in our lives is not a giant bank account, is not the things of this world, but think on the eternity that we are going to face one day. Think on our eternal life, eternal hope in Christ Jesus. Think on a new heaven and a new earth. Think on what that's going to be like. I've heard preachers say that they believe that you're going to be able to, just by thinking it, go back and forth in between. What? You ever thought about that? I've heard preachers say how wonderful it's going to be here on this earth as a new earth, as the garden was meant to be, as a new heaven. That's insanity. That's exciting. That's a reason for you and I. If I didn't have a bad knee, I would jump and click my heels, but I can't. I will embarrass myself. That's a reason for you and I, through horrific situations and really, really bad circumstances of life, that is a reason and a way for you and I to put our smiles on our faces and say, isn't God good? Regardless. Great hindrance to joy is magnifying circumstances over grace. We sing all the time, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound." We sing that all the time in churches, don't we? To many of us, it's one of our favorite songs. The grace of God is everything to us. Without the grace of God, we would have nothing. For by grace, Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, for by grace are we saved through faith. We understand that grace is undeserved kindness. So what happens when we have negative in our lives? We magnify, here's the thing right here, don't miss this. We magnify that negative and minimize the grace of God. Remember what happened to Peter? I commend Peter. Sometimes the more I studied about Peter, the more I figured out, well, I'm kind of a lot like Peter. Sometimes I jump before I think. Remember Peter in the boat? Scriptures say the waves were boisterous, the storm. They thought a ghost was crossing. I don't think I would be a Peter. I've been on deep sea fishing boats. My son and I went out last year down at the Outer Banks. We stayed out 20 minutes and it was like this. And my son was catching, what were we catching? Spanish mackerel. I mean, one right after another. And he was having a blast. But it didn't take long. I started. I said, "Captain, we've got to go back in the sound because I'm getting sick." I mean, and I can't imagine those waves being not even close to what they were dealing with in that little shipping, that little vessel that they were in, the fishing vessel. But Peter, anyway, Peter. In spite of the storm, in spite of the waves, in spite of the noise, the raging, I'm sure there was lightning, I'm sure there was thunder, in spite of all that, Peter did what? "Bid me to come unto you." Okay. And for a time, it's pretty awesome, right? I mean, he's standing on the water with Christ. But what did his focus go to? The lightning, the thunder. The circumstances, the waves, the storm, and what began to happen to poor Peter. He cries out to Christ. And here's the wonderful picture of this. He cries out to Christ. And what does Jesus do? He lets him sink to the bottom of Davy Jones's locker. Hardly. Hardly. Christ reaches his hand out as only Christ can. JJ, come here, bud. Oh, he's sighing. Come here. Reach your hand up to me. And Christ lifts him up out of that. I believe it's just like that. Nothing to Peter. Puts him back on the rock. Back where he needs to be. Back where he should have been. Back where he never should have left. And that's the Jesus that we still serve today. Don't magnify those problems. Thanks, buddy. Don't magnify those issues and those problems as hard as it is. And I'm one of the worst. Again, I've got a mirror in front of me and I'm seeing my face and I'm saying, stop magnifying those problems over the giant grace of God. Man, I'm really good at that. Man, I'm really good at saying, I don't think that this person is going to make it through a recovery. That's not my call, you big dummy. That's God's call. That's the Holy Spirit's work inside of this person, not mine. Shut your mouth and do your work. Rejoice. Be happy. It's not my call. I had somebody say to me the other day, well, I'm not sure that this so-and-so is saved. I said, whoa. It's our job to tell them. It's not our job to save them. God's really good at doing that part. A little bit better than we are. But we can rejoice while we're telling them. We can rejoice. We had a guy, oh my goodness, he came to us 8-9 months ago. Y'all know what the tear under somebody's eye means? Tattoo? Does anybody know what that means? I don't. Yeah, it does. He has here on his cheek a really horrible word that starts with an F, the police, right under his eyeball right here. Came to us 8-10 months ago. You want to talk about somebody hard? Been in our recovery for that long. He's been through class after class after class. He has been witnessed to over and over and over again. I was doing devos probably, I don't know, 2 months ago in men's recovery, 7 o'clock in the morning. At the end, I felt led to ask those who have accepted Jesus Christ, raise your hand. And all of them raised their hand. And I looked back and he was sitting there like this. I mean, blatant. Blatantly. At least had the guts enough. A lot of people will lie about that. He didn't. He was blatant about it. But he watched us. Watched the team, watched the recovery associates around him working with him and believing in him, and they watched Kathy work really, really hard to get him a job within the Kanawha Valley, working. You know what happened 2 weeks ago? That old boy got saved. He's been twice now getting all this removed. We have a doctor in the Kanawha Valley that's doing all this for free. Removing all of that. There's something about he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I mean, he's even taking this stuff off his face. Isn't that cool? It's really, really cool. He watched us make the decision not to live under circumstances. And you know what that did in his life? There's got to be something about this that they keep talking about. Look at these people. Look at their faces. They're happy. They rejoice. When that guy got saved, I mean, we've been praying about this for a long time. It was awesome. We were happy. That is the very essence. I'm not saying because it's Union Mission. I'm just saying that's the very essence of Christianity. This verse, and I'm finished. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is not sufficient for thee. Is that what it says? My grace is sufficient for thee. Hallelujah for that. I know it's very difficult. It's very hard for me. Very type A personality. Emotionally, because of athletics, it's very difficult to not slide under those circumstances and that weight of life. But thank God I've got the greatest Savior who, in spite of my shortcomings, in spite of how ridiculous I am and can be on most levels, His grace is sufficient for even me. God bless you all. Keep preaching the word and keep loving people and caring for people and taking care of people. Thank you so much for sacrificing to raise that money to be able to help us with beds. Father, we love you. We thank you for that amazing grace. None of us deserve it. Yet, you give it freely every single day as we fall short of your glory. Father, I pray that you would help us to make the decision this morning to not live under the circumstances of life. Help me to make that decision. Help me to rejoice more in my family and in my life. The life, the only life that you've given me. God, I pray that you would be with those who are afflicted and suffering. That is real, and the struggle is definitely real. I am not downplaying that at all, God, but you are greater than any giant, any Goliath that stands before us. You are greater than he. Lord, at this time, as if there's one who does not know you as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that your Spirit will prick their heart right now. Lord, I pray that if there's one that has been struggling in depression and struggling in anxiety and struggling in living under the circumstances of life, God, I pray that you would prick their heart right now. Speak to them. Move them. And we will give every ounce of glory to where it belongs, and that is with you. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
We're going to have a couple of verses of invitation. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior,